This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. It's great to have you listening today. Lake Michigan is always prominent in Milwaukee, but all the Great Lakes are getting attention here this week. The Great Lakes Commission held its annual meeting here on Monday, and Great Lakes Week events have attracted water scientists and advocates from around the U.S. and Canada. Among them are members of a federal task force focusing on the health of the Great Lakes ecosystem. The Great Lakes Restoration Initiative includes 11 federal agencies. One of those is the Department of Agriculture, which includes the U.S. Forest Service. It turns out that the health of forests has quite a bit to do with the health of the lakes. Anthony Erba and John Roethlisberger work in the Forest Service's Eastern Region headquarters here in Milwaukee, and they're with us in the studio now. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for inviting us.
What are the physical links, either direct or indirect, between the forest system, the system of national forests, both in Wisconsin and elsewhere, and the Great Lakes system?
Not surprisingly, one of the most important physical links between the forests and the Great Lakes themselves is that they're connected by water. In the Great Lakes Basin, everything outside of the Great Lakes themselves, the water bodies proper, is uphill. So when water falls on that landscape through precipitation, rain, snow, what have you, it gradually runs downhill and finds its way into small headwater streams, which then flow downhill and join up with one another and become larger and larger streams and eventually rivers, which make their way into the Great Lakes. So water is really a great integrator of the landscape in the Great Lakes Basin, or watershed, as we call it, and the lakes themselves. So the cleanliness of that water that ends up in the Great Lakes, that's here in Lake Michigan on the lakefront in Milwaukee, is a result of what's happened on the landscape in those headwaters and then gradually on down to the lakes. And forests are a really, really important component of the environment that helps to keep that water clean and fresh and abundant.
How does what happens in the forest impact the lake ecosystem? I mean, what is it that you do to manage forests and the resources within the forests that you can say, you know, what we've done here has a positive, or what we haven't done has a negative impact on what eventually reaches Lake Michigan or Lake Erie or
sure.
Lake Ontario or wherever?
And they're all connected, of course.
Well, I think that one of the things that's interesting about this week being Great Lakes Week, and the Environmental Protection Agency is a prominent agency that we all work with on the Great Lakes ecosystem restoration, is I've heard the kind of the layman's term that, you know, the forests are the kidneys to the Great Lakes. They actually help cleanse a lot of the water before it arrives into the Great Lake itself. And so whatever happens upstream from that, the forested systems are basically biological filters for whatever nutrients or excess of pollutants come out, actually gets absorbed by vegetation, gets absorbed by the stream banks and the soils themselves, so that when the water enters the Great Lakes itself, they are a lot cleaner perhaps than when they started.
Well, and so what are specifically the kinds of projects that you do within the national forests, say the Shawamiganicolay or
sure.
any of the national forests that might filter water before it reaches the Great Lakes ecosystem to impact the water?
So there are things that we do on one hand to protect water quality and the ecological services that the streams and lakes and wetlands provide. And then on the other hand, there are things that we do to try to restore those environments. So on the protection side, whenever we are sometimes on national forests, timber is harvested. That's part of what national forests do. They provide a sustainable timber supply. When we're going about those projects to harvest timber, we always make sure to leave a wide buffer around any aquatic environment, whether it's a wetland, temporary stream, or a perennial stream. There's always a buffer, and lakes as well. There's always a buffer left around that water body, and that allows for the filtration, the biological activity in the soil and through the vegetation, which prevents sediment from going into the streams. Other things we do have to do with building roads. Sometimes we build roads for people to access campsites or timber harvesters to get in and do the harvest. We make sure that when we build those roads, we build them in a way that's as environmentally sensitive as possible. We make sure that the drainage of the roads is set such that it's not dumping large quantities of sediment into the streams. We make sure that if there is a road or a trail on a national forest that's causing any sort of erosion problem, we go in and repair that by doing erosion reduction measures, building water bars, or stabilizing the bank of a stream. And then finally, one I'll add, and we can go on. There's all kinds of things we do on national forests. But talked about water and that physical connection. There's also a biological connection between the lakes and the forests and those streams that flow from the headwaters in the forest down to the lakes. And that's with migratory fish. So there are a variety of fish in the Great Lakes which spend their lives, the majority of their lives in the lakes, and then swim upstream to spawn, including on national forest lands. And sometimes, as we've done projects in our society to build roads, we block off the passage that they need to move upstream. And in the national forests, we're working really hard to remove those blocked passage ways that the fish need to move upstream, whether it be from a culvert that was built to allow road to go over or a small dam or what have you. We're working to restore the connectivity on those stream systems by building bridges or bigger culverts and trying to simulate the natural stream environment.
You know, one of the things that John's been focusing on is the national forest system with the Forest Service, and that's a really big part of what we do and what people really recognize. We have two other branches of the agency that are probably, for at least the urban populations, are probably just as important, and that would be our state and private forestry branch and our research and development branch. These two branches actually get involved a lot more with the urban populations, trying to figure out from the research side what research is out there, what scientific information is out there to help people understand the ecosystems. And certainly within the urban settings, they've been, you know, you can say, you know, highly modified from what they are out in the national forest. And the state and private forestry branch offers a lot of financial assistance as well as expertise in working with communities, both rural communities and urban communities, to develop, say, like green infrastructure. Again, trying to figure out these biological systems that filter water so water is cleaner for people's use.
Almost like you're helping develop the corridor that actually leads from where the end of the national forest is to where the beginning of the Great Lakes is.
When you leave the national forest and you go into either private land or state land, other agencies come into play, like the Natural Resource Conservation Service, the NRCS, which is also a partner agency in the USDA. They work a lot with farmers, specifically on phosphorus and how phosphorus is being used and how it's coming off agricultural fields, going into the water, showing up in the Great Lakes, then produces what we would consider to be harmful algal blooms. So you have nutrient pollution that goes on. So the conjunction that goes on between the two agencies, you know, we focus on national forests, and NRCS focuses on agricultural lands. And then you have our two branches focusing on urban communities. There's a lot of attention on water sources that enter the Great Lakes, and we're doing our best to try and restore impaired systems.
One of the issues we hear a lot about in terms of the Great Lakes is the issue of invasive species, both animal and plant species. Are there parallels between the invasives issue as it's playing out in the Great Lakes and what you're seeing on a national forest?
Oh, certainly. In fact, one of the things I would say that's receiving increased focus right now is invasives in general. We do have staff here in Milwaukee that are part of a subgroup with other federal agencies looking at invasives as generically, looking at both plant and animal. What we're trying to figure out also is getting an increased focus on terrestrial plant invasives as well as aquatic plant invasives so that, again, upstream caretaking of terrestrial considerations helps downstream use.
What's happening on the forest really does influence the lakes, and what happens in the lakes influences the forest. Invasive species are a two-way street. As non-native species come in from overseas on international shipping vessels, for example, and release ballast water into the Great Lakes, sometimes that introduces new aquatic species, which can then be transferred to lakes on national forests. The spiny water flea is a great example. We suspect that spiny water flea, which is a little not quite microscopic crustacean, but a predatory zooplankton, came in from the Baltic Sea and invaded the Great Lakes. And now it's in a number of lakes on national forests. And we're working hard, including with funds from the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, to prevent that invasive species, along with a whole myriad of others, from spreading beyond those inland lakes that it's already invaded to other inland lakes on national forests and beyond. We do that with education programs where we teach people what they can do to take steps to prevent the movement of species inadvertently as they move around their boats and trailers and fishing equipment. And we also provide some resources for them to clean off their equipment. We've built some self-service boat washing stations on lakes in national forests. And we've also staffed portable boat washing units that move around and try to help people clean off their boats. So that's an important way. But also, as non-native species that have been introduced to the United States by means other than transoceanic shipping are moving eastward, for example, folks that visit national forests and pick up species there may possibly introduce them to the Great Lakes. An example of that is New Zealand mud snail, which first took hold in the U.S. out west. And it's gradually moved through Yellowstone and getting closer and closer to the Great Lakes. And a lot of that's been through anglers being out, moving around their gear, and then eventually visiting the Great Lakes. And now we have populations of New Zealand mud snail in Lake Superior, Lake Erie, and other locations in the Great Lakes. So I just want to emphasize it's a two-way street, and what happens in the Great Lakes can affect forests, and what happens on forests comes to the Great Lakes.
Do you have the manpower, the resources to effectively manage this interaction? Is this a success story, a work in progress? Where are things?
I think for the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative as a whole, it is a huge success story. If you look at the cumulative investment so far, we're talking over $1 billion have come into this region of the United States, managed by 13 different federal agencies and all their staffs. The cooperation, the collaboration that has to go on amongst all those people. And they're, again, they're from different departments of the federal government. So a lot of times we don't deal with a lot of these people on a regular basis. And so just trying to work our way through that, we're finding that we may not have personally the manpower to do all this, but if we link up with other people to and other agencies to do the work, we're finding that we're actually getting a very, very nice outcome. It will show, I think it has been showing in a lot of the stakeholder input we've received on preparing for the next action plan, which would be eligible for 2015 through 2019. A lot of positive feedback in public meetings and written comments, people really expressing a lot of enjoyment as well as satisfaction seeing the changed conditions at the lakes, the changed conditions at the shoreline, different than what they grew up with.
Well, Anthony Erba, John Roethlisberger, thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Anthony Erba is the Director of Planning, Appeals, Litigation, and Landscape Scale Conservation, and John Roethlisberger is an aquatic ecologist with the U.S. Forest Service's Eastern Region Headquarters in Milwaukee. You can find a slideshow of pictures of the agency's work linked to water quality at wuwm.com/lake effect. We'll take a break now and in a moment learn about the tricky business of testing for performance-enhancing drugs in sports. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.